You know, Brad mentioned that as we were making our way to church, the kids prayed, and I thought, Eli, it was just interesting. They both did an amazing job. You know, Ellie told me, you know, you're the best mom ever, and she's praying this, and I reached back and I squeezed her leg. I said, I know a big ask is coming somewhere along in this prayer. And Eli, he was so funny, he said, Lord, I just pray that you would help mom to speak well and help the people who are there to hear well. I say amen, right? That's a good one. So that is my prayer today. And, you know, especially on the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, those two little people in the back seat are so amazing, so special. And God has placed them in our care. And so this has a what I would call just an incredible meaning for my husband and I, the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. And, you know, over the last 8 to 10 years at Brighton Assembly of God, we've really expanded. We've been celebrating what I would call Sanctity of Human Life Sunday in January as a church for probably at least 2 decades, like with intentionality. But over the last 8 to 10 years, we have really expanded, as you heard my husband say, in this way where we have moved to conception, from conception to last breath. And we have endeavored to be faithful in creating a culture. And I just want to say thank you for going on the journey with us, because we really have created a culture here at Brighton Assembly of God. And if you're viewing online today, can I just say, or you're here in person, thank you for going on the journey. Because when you begin to change a church culture, it's really tricky. And yet, as we introduce this from conception to last breath, and especially I'm talking about the heart's cry element, and we moved along in that journey with foster care and adoption, there were just time and energy and resources that were needed. And so I want to take a minute, because here's the deal. For those of you who are in person, and can I just say, wow, I am loving seeing your faces. I appreciate the online, but we just don't get the interaction. And I do appreciate you viewing online. We get lots of views of people that don't even attend our church. But I want to just say, when you walked in, especially if you used the South Lobby, you may have just looked around and you heard Kelly's announcement and went, whoa, okay, there's this, this, this. Can I tell you, for me, as the one who bosses people around, can I just tell you, I have absolutely no problem with that. And those of you that know me know I own it. Just is what it is. But it was funny, because as we've expanded, and you know, I have to put these on and off. You know, I've had a certain amount of birthdays, right? We've talked. So that's just, it's annoying to me, because then I can't really see you. But I'll put them on and off as needed. I complained to the optometrist when I had to get these, and she said, you need to be quiet. I've worn glasses since I was 5. And you just need these to read. I'm like, okay. But anyways, as I was saying, as we've expanded our foster care ministry, we partner with some other churches, and we've held retreats for foster parents there. And so one of the churches, and they're an amazing church, you have to fill out, which we have some of that, like forms, you know, and reserve rooms and do all this stuff. And the person who was working with me from that church that I know really well, she was kind of apologizing because she works with us here. And it kind of goes to the boss baby element, okay? And so she just said, you know, Rhonda, I told them, it's just hard for, you know, it's hard because at Brighton Assembly of God, Rhonda just says, we're doing this. And she said to the person, she said, and I don't understand it, but they just do it. Can I just tell you? I call it empowerment. That's my word, and I'm sticking to it. It's empowerment. And I thank all of you. I mean, I'm looking at you. I thank those of you online that have gone on the journey regarding the sanctity of human life, and that it encompasses conception to last breath in ways that are represented in that lobby. So as I circle back to that, that's when I look at that lobby, and thank you for those of you that put that together. Amazing, okay? But that represents to me the fruition of what we've been working on in creating culture here. That people will put time and energy and resources in and recognize the value. See that wall with all those, Carrie created that for me. You know, I gave her this idea. I always do this. Okay, I see this vine thing and purses like blooms. Can you make that happen? She's like, okay. I'm like, yay. That's amazing. But on that wall to me represents heart's cry. And I'm just going to move in away for a minute. And then we're going to move in a little bit of a different way on this Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. Because that wall, as it represents proceeds today going to Heart's Cry, see, that wall represents things that you'll never see, but that are happening. And let me just give you an example of one. Last year, there was a family in our county who took a child who was medically fragile. And that's code for, you know, they're not going to live very long. But the child seemed to do really well, and so the parents were like, this is amazing, probably because of the care being given, right? But unexpectedly, even though the child looked to be doing well, the child passed away. And I am not in any way condemning anyone, but the state only has a certain amount of money for children who pass in care regarding a funeral. Well, that money didn't begin to cover what the family wanted to do. Can I just tell you, because of your faithfulness in endeavors with Heart's Cry and giving to Heart's Cry, your time, treasure, and talent, we were able to write a check to an agency called Growing Hope Through Love in Howell, who was able to help bury that child with dignity. With dignity. And I just say, these are things. See, that's what I mean. That purse wall represents so much more to me. Those go bags that you have the privilege to put together for Voices for Children. Thank you, Sarah and Gabe Marsh. This is what I'm talking about. When you change the culture of a church, they're like, don't, I am. Thank you for coordinating, working together. They connected us inadvertently. Chris Swanson, who, if you know, during the upheaval of the times here in Michigan, he was the sheriff that when things looked really funky in Flint, he went out and he said, what do you need? And they said, walk with me. And he took off his gear and he walked. You remember those stories? That's the man that Gabe and Sarah know and work with, because he leads an incredible agency where they are breaking up sex trafficking in amazing ways. And so when I see those go bags, those are going to Voices for Children, because Niecy Holloman works with Chris Swanson, and they've connected me with her as well. And when kids are rescued from trafficking, we're mostly an adult audience. I know we have junior high and senior high, but listen, parents, they need to hear this, okay? Because they're the targets. And the in-person sex trafficking is minute in the States compared to the online, all right? You need to know that. And it's hidden in apps, and I can give you more information. But when I see those go bags, Niecy has told me, when they're rescued, most of the time, these kids have no clothing on, maybe a negligee, and nothing else, because they're kept like that so they can't run. So when you put PJs and slippers and a toothbrush and a hairbrush and you put those go bags together, they're going to go to Genesee County, Voices for Children, and they're going to be given to kids that are coming in who have been trafficked in the state of Michigan and beyond. See, that's what those tables represent to me. Pregnancy helpline, that's going to be baby bottles with your currency and your coins. And when you fill those up, that's going right on Grand River Avenue. We've been partnering with them almost since we started the church. And they have expanded. They're doing mentoring. They're wrapping around, because it's not just so that a girl, a couple, a family chooses life. It's so that we can help them in their endeavor to live after the child is born. And so Pregnancy Helpline Clinic is now offering mentoring. And I'm sharing this with you because you need to know, when we say sanctity of human life, it's not just a day in January. It's a lifestyle that we have created here that we say we want to be a part of in tangible ways, and we are. And I'm thankful. There are at least 4 to 5 individuals here or viewing online as well that volunteer at the Pregnancy Helpline Clinic. Girls, couples, families can come in after the child is born, and as they take classes and as they are accountable, they then earn like tokens, and they can shop for free for all kinds of things. I've taken my kids' gently used items. I ring the doorbell at the back, and I drop them off to bless someone else, because I believe in the sanctity of human life. Will you pray with us? Because our ministry to our seniors and the assisted living elements here in Brighton, we haven't been able to do any of that for almost a year now. Would you pray with us that we would have strategies on how to re-engage, as that's allowed? Would you pray with us that if somehow it's not something we can do like we used to do, we'd have new ideas? Because our senior community, they need us. And we had viable ministry every other week, about twice a month, that was going into these assisted living facilities. And so I just circle back and say this. I spent a little time about the lobbies because I'm going to move in another direction. But right before I do, I want to say, here's another cool piece. Heart's Cry, starting today, is going to be expanding, and we're going to be wraparounding and valuing our veterans in Livingston County. Dan Green, who is our missions pastor, has been working. We don't have everything worked out. That doesn't bother me at all. We've been trying, you know, this is a culture when you're trying to get things going. I said, my biggest challenge is not to feel traction a lot of the time. I was used to traction. Let's get her done. You know, here's the dream. Who's involved? Break big to small. Delegate it out. Operate the fluidity. That doesn't bother me. But the traction, that's really something that's really challenged me. But we're moving in ways, and Dan has now made connection with two individuals where we just wanted to ask the question, you know, you get to the right people, and we wanted to say, we want to value life. We want to value our vets. Is there a need? And two people that he talked to said, absolutely. Now we are in the process of figuring out what absolutely means. But here's the deal. Pastor Dan will be at a cafe table in the south lobby as well after service. And all you have to do is say, I'm interested, and give us your name. If you're online, you heard Kelly say, just put in the comment section. We're going to be all over that, and we will make connection with you. And we're going to begin in that way as well. So I'm excited. That's a recap. And that's what the Lord has done over the last 8 years specifically, but it started 10 years ago when we said, we want to make this bigger than just one day. We want to go into places where people know from conception to last breath that they are valuable. And I'm just so thankful that the Lord has helped us do that in such meaningful ways. And guess what? I'm so thankful for you. I'm so thankful for you and your willingness to say, you know, I'm in. We're in. Because without you, it wouldn't be possible. I really mean that. Because there are so many layers and so many elements. And now I'm going to transition. Because I think it's important to understand and to know, to create a common framework of this is who we are and this is what we're doing regarding the umbrella of sanctity of human life. And my message today is entitled, Made in His Image. And very plainly, I'm going to say to you, I am not going to today focus on what's going on out there. And I'm going to explain that to you as we continue. I'm going to focus on what's going on in here, in each of us. And your initial response might be, Rhonda, are you up to speed on what's going on? And if that were to be your initial response, my response would be, I'm very aware and I'm very concerned. Because I recognize that 62 million babies have been aborted in the state since Roe v. Wade. I recognize that 13,000 kids just in the state of Michigan are in foster care right now, and most of the DHHS offices are struggling because they're not fully manned and operational. I recognize that 424,000 kids are in care in the United States. I recognize that human trafficking is a $150 billion industry, and I use that word intentionally, worldwide. I recognize that January is National Slavery and Human Trafficking Prevention Month, and stats are really hard to get right now, but I'll tell you, from 2018, the United States, Mexico, and the Philippines, in the research that I did, were ranked the three top nations with origins of victims. And I'm going to lay this right here, because I think it is going to help us with sanctity of human life, okay? The United States, in three different studies I looked at, is the number one consumer of paid-for sex acts. Do you understand? I know. Let it sink in. The United States of America is ranked number one. And you know what they called it in the article? America's Dirty Little Secret. And I'm just spelling it out. Because it goes to this element of sanctity of human life. We know our veterans are in need.
We see that all over the headlines. We know progress has been made, but we're just scratching the surface. And we know our senior population who are in assisted living facilities have experienced trauma and tragedy, and we're still not sure how to proceed. So I'm aware. I'm aware of legislation. I'm aware of leaders of Planned Parenthood making statements of celebration. I'm aware. And yet every time as I was prepping this message, when I endeavored to move towards them, whoever them is, it kept coming back. I kept feeling compelled to come back to me and to you, followers of Jesus Christ. Because I felt that it has to start in here. And so as I endeavored to embrace what in here meant, things can begin to develop. And I went back to something that I had taught to young adults when I was the young adult pastor like 15 years ago. And it's this. We must link our being with our doing. Who we are with what we want to do. And I would talk to young adults about that, that especially 15, 16 years ago was really prominent because this compartmentalization thing with the postmodern era was so huge. So kind of that what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And I especially saw it, I mean, it happens to every demographic as far as generationally it can happen. But I especially saw it starting to happen, especially with social media. People would post, they'd be like, I'm all about Jesus and I'm going to do this, right? Then I see this post, it might be longer than 15 years, like on MySpace, that's going back, okay? And I'd be like, but you used the F-bomb and you said this stuff. And it's really inappropriate. They'd be like, well, that's that. I'm like, no, that's you. Okay, no, that's not that. That's you. And so all I'm going to say, though, is it has moved and saturated our culture in some really prolific ways. That concept of the Vegas thing. And as we endeavor to be people who know their God, followers of Jesus Christ, we must understand that we, at our ages, whatever your age is, you must link who you are, your being, with what you want to do. And so we're going to focus on three scriptures that talk about our being. It's not exhaustive. And then I'm going to talk about three life lessons from a character in the Bible with doing. But I want to start with this slide. And let me just give you an example of what I'm talking about. If we want to have an impact out there, we must start in here because there should be no question mark for a follower of Jesus Christ regarding the sanctity of human life, because that is the crux of the matter. If we believe that we are made in his image, then there is no question mark for the believer of Jesus Christ. I'm sorry. The believer of Jesus Christ ends this statement with a definite period. Or if you're like me, an emphatic exclamation point. Made in his image. Made in his image. And I don't care which one you choose, but if you are a follower of Jesus Christ and you want to move in ways out there, then there needs to be movement in here if there's a question mark. And you might say, well, Rhonda, there's really not a question mark for me. Okay, then I'm going to ask you this. Is there a comma and you've added a little something? Semicolon, added a little something. Colon, dash, those cannot exist either. Your choices, you know, I'm a former teacher. Your choices are a period or an exclamation point. That's it. And you might say, well, why? Because his word says so. Word of God. See, you can't sing songs, and I requested that song. You got to know I put this together because I'm bossy. We sing, a word of God speak. All right, you ready? Here's what he spoke. He spoke words that tell us that we can't add anything. He spoke words that say punctuation matters. And I'm a former language arts teacher. Punctuation matters. But let me tell you something. There's far more at stake out there than grammatical errors. Punctuation errors. People are at stake. Lives are at stake.
And I, you know, as I was processing, and I mean this sincerely, I was just so redirected in how to go about today. I came across as I was researching things and just trying to say, okay, what does this mean? And this quote happened before the link your being with your doing came, all right? But the quote by Naomi Orshies, I want you to look at that. She's a professor. She's highly acclaimed. She's taught at really prestigious universities, Harvard. I have no idea what her spiritual background is, but look at the quote she says. It really is a very radical call to reject materialism as our central value and to think about the sanctity of life and what that really means if we take it seriously. This is the quote that was the catalyst for me to move in here versus out there as I was processing so much of what I thought God was saying to me about this day. Because I had this image that we can so readily identify what's wrong out there. But it's really hard to identify, or maybe we just don't want to, what's going on in here. And the image came to me, and I couldn't get away. Do you remember when you were a little kid, and you would point, what did they say? How many fingers are pointing back at you? And that just kept coming to me. And I'm like, okay, God, I know what you're saying. You want us to focus on what's in here. Because sanctity of human life, what does that mean? Sanctity, sacred, utmost importance, above all else. That's what it means. And somehow along the way, I'm not saying all of us, but I think somehow we've got messed up in here a little bit. We might say, well, I don't have a question mark. But then I'm going to ask you, are there instances, and this is where it goes, where you change a little bit with your punctuation depending on who you're with and what's going on? He needs us to be representation regarding this issue now. In our time and space, because he placed us here. And if a professor, whom I'm not even sure of her spiritual moorings, in fact, her big thing is climate change. Stay with me, if those of you that are like, what? You know, it's not my, I mean, that's her thing. I have no idea. I couldn't find anything about her spiritual moorings, but I thought, you know, she's thinking some things through. And so should we. And so if you're here today in person, viewing live stream, I want to ask you to really think about what I'm speaking about today regarding the sanctity of human life and the importance of linking your being and your doing. Take a fresh look at yourself. And I want to start by giving you three scriptures which are not exhaustive regarding being. And one is found in Genesis. The first one is found in Genesis 26 and 27. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. So God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Definitive. As a believer in Jesus Christ, as a follower of Jesus Christ, we must understand if we are going to have impact on the unborn, if we are going to have maximum impact in foster care, adoption, human trafficking, with our veterans, okay, and with our seniors, we must understand that we must come to a place, word of God speak, it just did. Right? It just did. You're so quiet. Come on. Come on. There's no ambiguity that's needed in this space and time. People are already confused. You're never going to convince me. It's my opinion. And I really won't even debate it with you because I'm just resolute. You'll never convince me that abortion has not influenced us as a culture, that is why children are misused in the foster care system. Then you know why we've expanded into human trafficking? Because 60 to 80% of the kids rescued in the States in person, guess who they are? Current or former foster youth. And then you move into these other elements of veterans and our seniors. You're never going to convince me that abortion doesn't change the way we think and the value that's placed on life. And the ripple effect is for sure. It's for certain. I believe it. You don't sit in meetings where I hear what's done to these kids in foster care. And initially, I've said this before, I got so frustrated at bio parents. I'm thinking, how? And then I listened to some bio parents. It was done to them too. This is something that is permeating our culture. Misuse of people ought not to be. And I'm just going to say it to you. You can, like I said, you can debate me. I'm just not moving off square one. You will never convince me that abortion has not had that ripple effect in people's minds and the value placed on human life. And then it's eroded and put a question mark regarding the scripture. And then we as the church, because we're uncomfortable to have hard conversations. And you know, can I just tell you, I'm not saying argue people down. I rarely do that. I'm just going to say, this is what I believe. I'm entitled.
Amen.
I'm entitled. You can believe, you know what I'm saying? We can have differences. I'm not saying mistreat anybody. I'm not saying any of that, okay? But I'm saying that I believe that we have lost sight of Genesis 1, 26 and 27 as a nation, as the church, and we've allowed punctuation to affect our lifestyle and our convictions because we haven't been comfortable. I'm all done with that. I'm going to be uncomfortable, and I have been for a while. Because there needs to be representation within a culture that where people mean what they say and say what they mean. Nothing hostile, nothing horrid. I'm talking about just be who you're called to be. And when someone challenges you on stuff, can I just say? You just say, okay, I've heard you. We'll go back to me. Enough of you. Let's talk about me. Okay, Genesis 1, 26, 27, I'm sorry, I would disagree with you because I believe the word of God.
Amen.
Okay, so there's a divine creator, your being. You understand what I'm doing here? This is the being part. We'll get to doing, but this is the being. You must go back to this, and you must not apologize. I will not be bullied, and I will not be shamed. Word of God speak. Settle it. And then begin to live your life in ways where people see it. You know, Jesus had a lot of things to say, but people were attracted to him. I just heard my dad say, that's right. You know, and my dad used to always tell me when I was growing up, he's like, Rhonda, watch your eyes, man. You're just like assassinating people. So I'm watching my eyes. I heard him, that's right. So I'm not saying, you know, giving these looks or get. I'm just saying, as we live lives that are consistent and we represent his word, here's the deal. It's life-giving. It's life-giving. And can I just say this? Because this is always difficult. If anyone's viewing online or here today and you've had an abortion or something like that has occurred, can I say, there's no condemnation in him. He starts with us where we're at, and we move forward in a freedom, in a liberty. If you're a man here and you convince someone that you were with at one time to have an abortion, can I just tell you, there's a liberty in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You don't
yes.
have to carry that.
Yes.
We move forward.
That's good.
And so I just say that. Because we don't have to have it all figured out. We just have to do the best with what we have and what we know. And not deal, and can I just say this, and be very careful you don't get hung up on anomalies. Now, what do I mean by that? When you're having a conversation about life, people always pull out, like, this worst-case scenario. All right? And I don't have time to, like, disaggregate the whole deal. But I'll just tell you, look at statistically if you want to. I mean, the anomalies, it's a really small fraction. And here's the deal. And I look out at this congregation, and I know the people, many of them who view online. We have within the fabric of our church community all kinds of elements representing learning differences, right? Special needs, autism, Down syndrome. These are valuable individuals.
Amen.
They take us on a journey we never knew existed. And we see our lives bloom and blossom in ways that we might never have chosen because we always, I shouldn't say always, we most times opt for comfort and what we know. And so many times he takes us on that road less traveled, and out of that, if we will respond correctly, value life, all life, he will do something that amazes us and then blesses others.
Amen.
Thank you. Because it's what he does. We have no idea of the big scheme. So when you think about getting it right in here, start with the scripture, Genesis 1, 26 and 27. You're made in his image. And the second component of your being is found in Psalm 139, 13 and 14. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your eyes saw my unformed body. Here's the deal. Point number one about your being. You are created by a divine creator in his image. That's sacred. Number two, we see here that you are knit together with specificity, individuality. There is a uniqueness about you. You know, I always laugh when people are like, oh, there's no two snowflakes alike. Okay, that's cool. There's no two people alike. That's way bigger. Do we get it? The whole, oh, that's, this is way bigger. Implications far more than snowflakes. And you know what's funny when I say that? Because now, you know, in our culture, when someone's called a snowflake. But anyways, all right. So we just move away from that because, you know, it's always this, right? Verse 15 says, intricately woven. I'm not a knitter, but I know some people here who are. I've tapped them a couple times to make these really cool hats for my kids. They use patterns and stitches and needles and yarns and color and design. And then they create scarves and mittens and hats and sweaters, all kinds of stuff used for specific purposes. Same. He's made us. It's a mosaic. And we need to understand the beauty of what he makes. Amidst our questions, we need to remove the question mark. No other punctuation, and understand that we are made in his image, sacred, that there's specificity and individuality, uniqueness. And number three, one of my favorite verses, I claim it all the time, Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. There's a progression in the being. You must understand he's created you. You must understand he's knit you together with plans. And now those plans will be carried out through the purposes that he has for your life and my life. And that's why we're working on what's in here. Because if what's in here is not right, I think I'm getting ahead of myself. Nope. Here we go. You ready? This is what I felt, what we call in our spirits. Here's what I felt when I was questioning the Lord. Like, you know, why am I working on being and doing? And I wrote it down. And here's what it says. Because you'll never be able to stand up to what's out there unless what's in here is worked out. That's what I was impressed with. I don't mean audible voices. I just mean that's what it says. That's the words that came. You'll never, Rhonda, be able to stand up to what's out there unless you've worked on what's in here. And I want to just say this. I'm not talking about a person or an organization. Because here's what it is. What's out there, it's way bigger than that. It's way bigger than that. And it's permeating. And yet, if what's in here is right, and your being is anchored in just those three scriptures, there's way more scriptures that you should know and dissect and add to, right? Your worldview of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. But if you'll be resolute in that and get this right, he'll be able to use you out there. It might be on the job. I'm not talking about picket lines. I'm not talking about crazy stuff. I'm talking about going to your place of employment. I'm talking about going into your family dynamic. I'm talking about your neighbors. I'm talking about here at this church. I'm talking about living our lives out loud for the cause of Christ in a fashion where we've got our being together and we're going to garner then favor, not popularity. Understand? Okay? When you get your being right, it's going to come into conflict with what's out there. And again, I'm not talking about a person or even organizations. I'll say it again, because it's way bigger. So I want you to think about your being as we transition to doing. Link your being with your doing. Because if you've got, and I believe you do, some big dreams, this has to be right in order to combat the stuff that's wrong. And he's going to help us. And you know, we're going to look at a character as I move towards the doing, and you'll find that if you're on a device or your Bible. Genesis 26, Isaac. You know what gives me great delight is Isaac was kind of a mess. It was, you know, but yet God used him. Isaac is Abraham's son. If you know the Old Testament, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And what comes out of Isaac in the midst of stuff is a legacy of the Jewish people. It originates with his father, Abraham. But when you think about that, he was in a line for the 12 Hebrew tribes, right? In case you didn't know, giving you a little context. As we link our being with our doing. In this portion of scripture, I want to give you a little context. Isaac is living not with his family. He's living with his tribe or his clan. You know, those words are so popular right now. In his time, that really was what it was, his clan, his tribe. And he's living amongst people who would not be super friendly, let's say. But they've allowed him to live there. What happens is, as he's living there amongst them, due to some circumstances that I don't have time to go back and kind of disaggregate for you, he is so favored by God that they get nervous and they're like, you got to get out of here because we're getting nervous that as you are growing, you're going to try and like take us over. And so he had to move. Now you might say, okay, so for doing, I want you to think about this. The life lesson that I want to take from Isaac right here and right now, and can you go to that scripture, Genesis 26, 17? Because we've moved on. Return to what was known. Isaac demonstrated for us something that I think is really powerful in a life lesson. Because we can gloss over this. What does that feel like? Think about this. He's a man, just like, you know, a human being, like you, like me. And he's told one day, like, everything you got going on here, no more. Hit the road. Think about what that would entail. But I like what Isaac did, and I apply it to my life into this doing aspect, that when the trajectory of my life changes, and when things don't look the way I thought they were going to, how do I respond? Because he could have said, he had a big group of people. He could have sent some. He said, let's go north, south, east, west. Let's spy it out. No. He returned to what he knew. And now I'm not talking about, in Christian circles, songs, apparel, methodology. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about heart, mind. Because here's what happens with your doing. And this really links back to being, to be honest. This is why that's a transitional piece here. Here's what happens when stuff like that happens. We can begin to, if our heart and mind, our being, aren't centered and focused, when things come at us, especially regarding this issue of sanctity of human life, our actions can begin to look random, frantic. He had things settled in here, and he went back to what he knew. So you got to know he's your creator. You got to know he made you. He knit you together. You got to know that there's plans for your life, because we're living in a very fluid time. Because here's the deal. If you know that, and you're asked to hit the road, in whatever way, shape. That could be friends. That could be family. That could, you know, it just looks a lot of different ways. And when you're asked to hit the road or whatever happens or relationships, I'm not trying to be like Debbie Downer. I'm just saying things like this go on. Because as you get this right, it's going to change what you do. That's why you link your being and your doing. Because it's not what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. That's so old. But it works because most of us know it. We don't live like that as followers of Christ. We link our being with what we're doing, and what we do is opt for health. And that's what he did. He went back to what he knew, to the wells. But here's the deal that will happen for you and for me. When he went back to that, it's not easy breezy. It wasn't like he packed up and then all of a sudden it was like, oh, I'm at my dad's place where the wells were and it's everything's pristine. That's not what happened. There was conflict. So for any of you and me that get nervous when there's conflict, I'm going to say from his life, learn to operate in conflict. Learn how to stabilize yourself. Return to the things that make you healthy. You know what I'm saying? Sanctity of human life When you take a stand, there probably will be some resistance to that. Like, probably for sure. Trying to help some of you who are like, is she done soon? Okay, almost, kind of. I'm going to encourage you, navigate like Isaac. Because what did he find? Go to the next slide. Genesis 26, and I put 17, 18b, and then I put the ellipsis because it really all goes together, but I didn't have room. When Isaac returns to what he knows, all the wells are stopped up with dirt. Isn't that pleasant? And so there's not fresh water flowing. There's not all these things happening that he might have anticipated. Instead, the enemies, because they had been jealous, it says, in I studied that they were envious. And so what did they do? They stopped up the wells. He had to commit to a task, and so must you, and so must I. As we think about sanctity of human life, there are going to be things that try and stop up the wells. Even when we've opted for health like he did and to go back to what we know, it might be that it's just uncomfortable or that we're just tired. Or we just don't know, like, am I really going to be able to stand in this place? It's hard. But remember, as you take inventory and as you link your being and your doing, it's essential that we commit to the task of making people aware of our commitment, and then we stay with it. Does that make sense? It's not for the faint of heart. And number three, another life lesson from Isaac is found in Genesis 26, 19 through 32. You know what, though? There was blessing despite conflict. Blessing despite conflict. What ended up happening is they unstopped those wells, and then because they're quite a large group, they went on to dig new wells. But when they dug new wells, these different people would say, no, that's our water, that's our water. And you know, and so they kept moving on. And finally, they dug a well, and it was theirs. And they said, the servants, we found water. And I think for those of us that get to just turn a faucet on, we have no idea what that means. You know, I've traveled quite a bit with AIM teams. Those are youth missions teams through the Assemblies of God. And I've traveled to quite a few third world countries, and some of you are here that have been with me. When you've gone there and stayed in abandoned refugee camps and rainforests and all kinds of crazy places, you understand how amazing it is to turn on a faucet. And for this group of people, when they yelled back, we found water, what an amazing thing. There was blessing despite the conflict. And what I want to say to us today on the Sanctity of Human Life Day, as we link our being with our doing, there's going to be conflict, and yet he's going to show up. And there's going to be times of refreshing. And there's going to be times where he speaks, Word of God speak. But it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. Linking your being and doing, it's not about perfection. It's about we keep trying. And we ask in the name of Jesus for his help. And we ask for his favor. And then we, as I kind of go full circle and the worship team comes back, we, like I said, Brighton Assembly of God has done, take intentional steps to cultivate a lifestyle within us that recognizes the need to take a stand, that recognizes the importance of punctuation on this Sanctity of Human Life Day. And we say, made in his image, exclamation point. And so I'm going to ask you today, I know it's different. It's different. But this is how I felt. It's imperative. Because behind these elements in the lobby are human beings. Out there are people who need us. Come on. And the only way that we are going to have the impact in this current culture, in this current time and space, is if we link our being with our doing. You're created in His image. You're sacred. Even with all your stuff. Because we all have stuff. You're individual and specific. You're unique. No one can take your place. There's good works that have been planned for you amidst all the ups and downs. Believe it. Stand upon it. Because as you get that in place, He will open for you ways to speak life. We choose life, but we also speak life. And we live in a way that impacts the world around us for the glory and honor of Jesus Christ. Amen.